Hello, my name is John Smetanka, and the name of our program is With Respect. Today's guest on With Respect is Megan Giacobosi. Megan is a high school student at St. Joseph High School, but she's got a special talent that's brought her a lot of satisfaction and a lot of interest in other parts of a very large community, and that is she's a great singer. We'll be talking to her about how she got started and what she's interested in and what her future is, and also about why people who are in grammar school or high school should be interested in developing their musical skills. Megan Giacobosi, With Respect. So, Megan, how are you today?
I'm doing good.
Good, good. Megan, I get to ask you a question that I would not dare ask any other woman, and that is, how old are you?
I'm 16.
All right. Well, that's important because it's going to set the tone for some of our discussion, and this is discussion. And where are you from originally?
I was born in Ohio, surprisingly, okay. But I moved here when I was 4.
All right. Now, you're not an Ohio State football fan, are you?
Nope.
Okay.
No.
All right. That's good. That's as long as we, that's important.
Okay.
You can be for any Michigan team as long as it's Michigan. So, when you're 4, your parents came here or you moved here. Tell me about where you went to school.
For the first 10 years, I went to Lake Michigan Catholic, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I just transferred last year to St. Joe because I thought they had a better music program for mm-hmm. me to indulge myself in.
Okay, well, that's interesting. What do you mean by a better music program? Because I think that people who are not necessarily musical or who have kids who they think might be interested in music, they might say, well, what's the difference? I mean, they're all music programs are music programs, right?
Well, no, it depends on who's the teacher. I really like Lakeshore's choir teacher, Miss mm-hmm. Rohr. She's sweet. She's amazing. I really like St. Joe's. It was a really hard decision.
Mm-hmm.
LMC's choir teacher is also nice, too. It's just we didn't have a lot of time to practice,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't a class I could take.
Okay. What makes, for you, what makes a good teacher when it comes to music? How does that play out? They're not just being nice is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
What else is in there?
They have to push you to become the best you can be, but teach you in a way that's not yelling at you. That's not, because singers can't sing if they're stressed. I've learned that the hard way. If you're scared of singing, then you can't sing. But if a teacher is saying, hey, I don't think you get this. I can help you with that. Here's how 4/4 sounds. Here's how 3/2 sounds. Like, I've learned so much in the past year,
mm-hmm.
honestly.
What about other students? Are you in a class with others, or is this one-on-one teaching, or what is it?
I'm in a class with, I think there's about 20 of us, 20 or 30 other kids
mm-hmm.
in concert choir. So,
okay, what do you mean by concert choir? I'm not sure that, I mean, I know choirs, but I don't know what a concert choir is.
St. Joe has a couple different choirs that you can join. There's chorale, and that's normally freshmen, underclassmen, but it's when you're starting to learn, well, you know things, but you're not really up to the higher level yet. And then concert choir is for a lot of people that are probably going to go into music for a career, I think, or if you're really good at music and you want to be put kind of on that higher level.
Mm-hmm.
There's also things like show choir, which is music and dancing, and it's more musical theater-ish, and women's ensemble and men's ensemble.
When you were 5 years old, were you a singer at that point?
Really, really loudly. Probably not on key, probably just singing around the house. But
now that's interesting because that matches my experience. That's what I used to sing a lot, and God knows, I thank my parents for not killing me or strangling me. But so at what point did you say, you know, I think I can go farther with this?
I did my first musical when I was 8, and I was in The Sound of Music at Twin City Players.
What part did you play?
I was Marta Von Trapp.
Ah, one of the little yeah. kids.
So,
which song did you sing? Tell me.
Do Re Mi, Lonely Goat Herd, lots of them. Yeah, all the Von Trapp kids.
And the It's Time to Say Goodnight.
Oh yeah,
so that was a good one. Yeah, that's right. And each of you in that, mm-hmm. as you were, well, I think in the scene in Sound of Music, that in the movie, there was the scene where you're all going to bed.
Yeah.
And that, and they all sang separately. Mm-hmm. Each person sang there, it's time to go to bed. Well, I can't remember the words. But then when they're leaving, they're escaping from Austria, they do the same thing from the stage. Mm-hmm. That's cute. It's interesting. Yeah. So you got your first solo when you were 8 years old.
Yeah. And it just progressed from there.
Mm-hmm. How about the rest of your family? You have any brothers, sisters?
I have 2 brothers, a stepbrother, and then foreign exchange student brother who just moved in last week.
Okay. Now, how many of them are also singers? Anybody?
Nope.
Anybody? Oh, my heavens. So it's not completely genetics then, right?
I don't think so.
All right. In our family, bless, if my brother's listening, I claim that I have the voice, and he is just interested. Now, lately, he has gotten to be singing much better. So we actually now, occasionally when riding together in the car, we find some rock and roll thing from before you were born, and we scream and yell it. And so I guess screaming, we can scream together. I mean, it's great. I love it. But there's a song, I Want to Get Out of It. We got to get out of this place. That's a big 60s song. And I thought it was great. It was a theme song of many of the troops in Vietnam. And Ray was in Vietnam. And so he learned it and taught it to me. And it's a great song to sing along with. You can really blast your lungs out singing the verse. But anyway, you had a solo in the musical, mm-hmm. But you're also part of a chorus. And now here's another interesting thing that I find about singing is I like to look at music, oral music, as having 4 characteristics. Number 1, rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
There's some sort of a rhythm that goes with it. Number 2, lyrics. Words go with it. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3 is a melody, a tune. And then the 4th one I like is harmony.
Hmm.
So you get all 4 of those things. And I think if in some measure or form, that for me is oral music. And that's a lot of fun. I enjoy it. But if you take one of them out, then it's more difficult. So now I come to you and say, but you're not, when you sing solo,
mm-hmm.
you have words, you have melody, and you have rhythm, but no harmony. Which do you like better, when you sing in a group or by yourself?
That's difficult. I think it depends on the piece. Some pieces only work with harmony, and it's really nice to listen to them together.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I've been told I stand out in groups, which is, I'm just really loud, and that's just how it was brought up. But there's some pieces that if you're singing alone, like you could sing in a group just fine, but if you're singing it alone, it's really difficult.
Mm-hmm. But. Beth, for me, that's just about it. I did sing one solo, and my listeners have heard me tell about this. I sang a solo in the musical Oklahoma, and it was in front of 300 students of my fellow students at this school, and I knew they were out there, but the lights blinded me, so all I saw was blackness out there. And all I heard was this dumb band that we had. It was substituted for an orchestra that was supposed to give me the lead in and the melody and everything. I was never so scared in my life. Terrified. And I am sure that everybody in that auditorium wanted to get up and walk out. I'm positive of that. But the tribute to the fact they locked the doors was that they didn't. But do you get scared? Do you ever get scared?
All the time.
Really?
Yeah. I get really nervous, and my knee, I have this problem where when I get really nervous, my kneecaps just start shaking.
Really?
Like crazy.
Now, I've seen you perform twice. I didn't see the kneecaps going. That was good.
I had some long dresses on.
Oh, that's
right. But I've also been told pretty recently that if you're not nervous about singing, that means you don't care.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's better to have the nerves and then have a little adrenaline from those nerves to push you to sing better than to be, oh, I got this, and then mess up.
I can knock it out of the park.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you that I am a trial lawyer, and I remember the first time I tried a case, I was petrified, and I did a horrible job. It was absolutely the worst trial. And I thought, well, it's only because I was nervous. No. I needed the experience. Nerves, if you find a lawyer who says he goes into court and he's not nervous, get rid of him.
Mm.
Because the trial is a very complicated process, very stressful. And if you are not aware of that and doesn't make you nervous, you're not trying.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what you're doing. So I keep that up because every single trial that I have, I'm nervous when I first started. There is a famous trial lawyer who wrote the following in a book about trying cases. He's a very good lawyer, and he said, the evening before trial, I pray that there will be a blizzard which will shut the courthouse down. And when I get into the courthouse, I pray that there will be an earthquake that will show just take all of us into to the middle of the earth. But when I stand up and I say, ready for the defense or ready for the prosecution, it all goes away. And I'm now in the groove, and I'm just fine. And that is my life. Is that true for you? When you start singing, does it take away some of that nervousness?
Definitely. I think it's mostly adrenaline and being in the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also think it's harder to be alone on stage than if you're singing in a group. I think it's fine. Or if you have a couple of people up there with you while you're singing a solo, I think it's fine. But when it's just solo, I'm like, oh, that's nerve-wracking.
All right, we're going to take a break right now. We're talking to Megan Jacobozzi, who is a St. Joseph High School student and has a great voice, and we're going to be talking about her particular kind of voice and what she sings, and in a moment. But this is With Respect, and this is John Smetanka, and we'll be right back. We're now back on With Respect with Megan Jacobozzi. And by the way, Megan, I almost mispronounced your name, but it's kind of easy because everybody for all my whole life has mispronounced my name. So I'm kind of just getting even with people subconsciously. But anyway, this is With Respect, and this is John Smetanka. We're talking with Megan Jacobozzi, as I say, a high school student at St. Joseph High School with a magnificent voice and a great sense when she presents music. But we also know that she's scared to death. Okay, that's good. We're fine with this. All right, Megan, we broke off. We were talking about the fact that once you get into it, it's a lot, it flows.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that in your, I noticed in your facial expressions when you started to sing, you almost showed a bit of nervousness in your face. But as soon as you got going, that was different. You were in the groove.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes a difference. Now, did you, you also sang in choirs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I, when I had my ill-fated solo, I vowed I would never, ever sing a solo again. And God and the choir master said, no, John, you don't have to sing a solo. So at any rate, I loved singing in a choir. Now, why? Because I could blend in. And if I missed a note or a rhythm bit, I could listen to somebody who really knew what they were doing, and you can kind of go along with it.
Yeah.
How about you?
That's definitely a perk.
Yeah.
Being in a choir is, yeah. Is, I think it's easier to, if you're not 100% confident on something, you can just make that mezzo piano piano. And I don't think anyone else would notice. Yeah.
Except you've got a strong voice. And as you say, people know you're there.
Mm-hmm. I've been told so many times, hey, maybe a little quieter. Getting better at it.
Are you good?
Yeah.
There was a piece that the first time I sang really complicated piece was the Hallelujah Chorus from Handel's Messiah. And it's complicated because there is, when they start singing Hallelujah, Hallelujah, or they talk about for the Lord God is that phrase, they start in doing each part, each of the four or parts will start at different times. And so you're fighting against or blending with the other parts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to actually listen to those other people. Are you a soprano?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you got to listen to the altos and the tenors and bass and those things to make sure that not only do you blend with your own people, mm-hmm. your sopranos, but you got to do it with the other too.
Yeah. Half of choir singing is listening, I think, because if you're just kind of on your own lane, then you could mess everything up,
mm-hmm.
and then it would be just pinned on you. But if you're listening and you're blending with everyone, I think it's a lot easier to.
You talk about the time that you spent this past year learning a lot at St. Joseph mm-hmm. High School, and that you learned a lot and liked the people that you dealt with both in Lakeshore, St. Joseph, and Lake Michigan Catholic. But each gave you a different level of preparation and advancement and mm-hmm. challenge. Did you? I know the answer to this, but you did not stop with singing in this area, and you're with your high school choirs. You went elsewhere.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, this summer in particular, I joined the Citadel Symphony Chorus on a concert tour in Ireland. That was so much fun. It was just an amazing experience, and we got mm-hmm. to work with a lot of cool people. As soon as I came back, I had a couple weeks, I think. No, I had just about a week, and then I went off to SMC to do, we did a two-week program where we learned an entire show. We learned Children of Eden by Stephen Schwartz. In this 2 week, we stayed out on the dorms, and that was, again, just an amazing experience. There were lots of awesome people, but it was really rigorous and hardcore. And then about 2 days later, I flew down to Georgia for Camp Voice in the Savannah Opera Voice Festival. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was another week of training with really great people. But it was really rigorous and hardcore, too. So
you had a rough summer.
Yeah.
Poor baby. You went to Ireland. You went to SMC, that's Southwestern Michigan
mm-hmm.
College, and then down to Georgia.
Yeah.
Oh, you poor thing.
And did all my Honors English 11 work in the middle.
Good for you.
Yeah.
All right. Let me go back to the Ireland experience. So you had a good time in Ireland. I can see it in your eyes. You had a great time over there. Why? What was so great about it?
The people were amazing. We got to do so much. Every day was packed with just, oh, now we're going to go look at the cliffs and the cows and the just everything. It was just so much fun. And the places we got to sing were amazing, too. We got to sing in St. Patrick's Cathedral.
Oh. In Dublin?
Or Killarney. Wait, no. Yes, Dublin. It was in Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, oh, I just can't explain just how amazing it was.
Okay, that's an interesting thing, too. All right, I like all different kinds of music.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, to my audience, who I've told that I don't like rap music, I now have to say that I've changed somewhat because I saw Hamilton, the play. And that that does make a difference. But going back now, I like all different kinds of music. One of the interesting effects that comes with singing in a church is the resonance in the air, in the tall ceilings and whatnot. How does that change the way you perform, or does it?
Especially in St. Patrick's Cathedral, I think that was my best performance personally. Just because it was such a big building, I felt like I could just have fun and it would echo, and I felt like I could be heard everywhere. So I just, I went a little crazy, they can tell you. I was I was hitting some high E7, E6s.
High C's?
High E's.
Oh, high E's.
Yeah. It was, I was told I could go crazy, and it was.
And you did.
I did. That
now,
was fun.
That was a choir, though, also. But you had solos and choir pieces.
I had two little solos in the choir.
Mm-hmm. What kind of audiences did you have? What kind of people came to these?
The first concert was a lot of people from a retirement home, I think. But a lot of people just saw advertisements, and they're like, oh, I think I'll go to that.
Mm-hmm.
Other people, that was the church they went to, so they went to come hear it. Some people were just walking on the street, and they heard things, and they would come in halfway through the concert, which that was really cool.
When I was in college, I sang, or in high school, I sang Gregorian chant. Now, nobody knows Gregorian chant anymore. But you told me earlier that you actually know what Gregorian chant is.
We used to, there was a kid in my class 2 years ago that would just play it and would just sing to it in the hallways and would just dance around singing Gregorian chant. And it was strange, but like hilarious too.
Yeah. Well, when Gregorian chant, for those people who don't know what it is an old form of music, which is not Gregorian after Pope Gregory, is a Christian church songs. But it was also later on morphed into polyphony in the Middle Ages. It started about about the 800s, and then it morphed into harmony later on. And so, you know, it's sort of the basis for a number of kinds of music, I think, that we have now, or at least it fits into a genre of, and time span of other music, which we recognize today as choral music or musical comedy or whatever. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, there's a certain purity to the sound.
Mm-hmm.
And when a choir, whether it's men's or women's voices, generally it's best with one or the other. When they start singing, that's beautiful. You get it into one of those like cathedrals or an abbey or something like that. Oh,
just all that's the neat. Echoing.
Yeah, it really is. It's a very pure. And we were taught to sing very pure tones, and you don't slur things. You're just very precise in all of your singing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do that in other kinds of music? Is that what you're taught about purity and sound?
Yeah, especially like embouchure and how you shape your mouth to make different vowels.
Mm-hmm.
Like the word could be stand, but you could go stand or stand. Like mm-hmm. there's a million different ways that you can pronounce this word, but especially in choral singing or even solo singing, you have to find what blends the best and which one resonates the best. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of individual work mm-hmm. that you have to do.
Do you have a particular style that you like the most at this point in your life?
I like a lot of musical theater or German Lieder, which is completely different.
Completely different. What's German Lieder?
A lot of older German art songs. I like Italian art songs too, but I think German art songs are more fun.
All right. So, tribute to you. I found that when I watch singers, whether it's of any form, a soloist, it's fun to watch their mouths. This sounds strange, but it is mm-hmm. fun to watch how they pronounce and how they open their mouths so you can project your voice. Mm-hmm. Do they teach you that? Is that a taught thing that you learn in school?
They teach it, but also it's an individual experience thing. Like someone can tell you, oh, open your mouth like this, but unless you work on it by yourself and have that experience of, oh, that's what sounds good. I don't think it's something that can really be taught.
Where do you go from here? I mean, you're now, mm-hmm. you've done a summer of performances around the world, around the United States and near home. And every time, I take it that every time you perform, you learn something.
Mm-hmm.
What do you learn?
Especially this summer, since I was working with music professors and just so many great people, I learned so many things about voice placement and tone. But I also learned about, oh, I prefer this kind of music, mm-hmm. this kind of music, and just like my personal taste
mm-hmm.
and my personal style of singing.
Is there some, I understand you have choice. You can, mm-hmm. We've had opera singers here,
mm-hmm.
and we've had all the kind of folk singers and jazz singers and people that you might know or not know. But each of them talked about their particular style of singing. And every one of them came back to this, that they moved to what moved them inside.
Hmm.
That is what made them most comfortable and feeling really like their whole soul is going into what they're doing.
Yeah.
Do you have that? Does that come to you yet?
Yeah, in musical theater, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I know some operas can be comedies, but especially in comedic parts for me, when I'm a character, a lot of times I won't have nerves because it's not Megan that's going and singing. It's this character that's going on. It's someone else that's going on, and it's okay if I make a fool of myself because it's not me and I'm doing the best I can do.
That's very interesting. I've never heard anybody express it quite that way. And as I say, we've had opera people and folk singers. The closest I had recently was a woman who is a professional singer, goes around the country. And what she said was that she sings that which makes her happy.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a sad song or a happy song or whatever, it makes her happy. If she is projecting herself, she can speak through her music. And whatever the tone is that she uses is almost irrelevant. It's the song that brings it out.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break right now. We're talking to Megan Jacobozzi, a soprano, 16 years old, phenomenal singer. And don't get your heads too swollen by this, but you're very good. And you're just starting in your musical career. She is we're going to be talking more about where music takes her and what else she wants to do in life. This is John Smetanka, Run With Respect, and we will be right back. We're now back on With Respect with Megan Jacobosi. Megan is a 16-year-old soprano at St. Joseph High School, but has now performed this past summer in Ireland, Georgia, Wajak, Michigan, and is in love with what she does. She likes it, and that's great. This is John Smetanka on With Respect. So, Megan, when we broke, I was trying to talk about different kinds of singing. We had one woman here who was an opera singer at one time, and then she moved on to a jazz singer, and then she moved on to something else, and she said that each time she made a transition, she had to think about, had to readjust her voice, and so that an opera singer and a jazz singer singing the same note has a different voice. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. It's completely different.
Tell us how is it different?
Well, I can say a song that I'm kind of known for, it's probably my favorite song, is The Girl in 14G it was written for Kristen Chenoweth. And it's a girl in a kind of a musical theater style explaining how she moved into an apartment, and below her is an opera singer and above her is a jazz singer. So she's switching back and forth from like ha 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 to like scatting. I can't do it on the spot, but you have three completely different voices switching back and forth in one song. They could be singing the same notes, but it's a completely different style.
The sound is different.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that amazed me. And I listened then, after I did that particular show, I listened to different singers. I took women because she was a woman and told me about this. And it is different.
Yeah.
It has there's a word which is timbre or timbre, whatever, T-I-M-B-R-E, which refers, I think, to the quality of the voice, the sound of the voice. There you could tell the difference.
Yeah.
There's another change, which, since you like opera, right?
Mm-hmm, I do.
There's another distinction, which several opera singers have talked about, and that is there are coloraturas and something else. I can't remember the other term. It's a different word that describes a different kind of voice, even though it's still opera. It's a different kind of voice.
I know what you're talking about, but I forget the word.
Well, I'm told that the coloratura singer will have ever so slightly more vibrato, vibration in their singing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a taught thing, or is that something that comes natural?
I think it's something that comes naturally. My music theory and like music education skills aren't the best, but I've been told, oh, you have so-and-so coloratura. And I'm like, okay, I'm not sure what that means, but it sounds pretty, so I'm sure it's great. I'm sure I'm doing okay. So I think it's a natural thing. And I've also in Georgia, I heard, oh, she's got this coloratura. Oh, she's got that. And I don't think like tone can be taught. It can be adjusted and improved upon, but it's like the individual singer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Where do you go from here in music?
I'm not sure.
All right. Let's back into that a little bit differently, a different way. Besides singing, You've got to have something else in your life going on. What else do you have going on?
I'm a cartoonist, which is strange. I really like history and like world relations.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like writing. Mm-hmm. I have like an 11,000 page thing, not page, a word thing that I'm just messing around on. I'm just a really creative person, which is,
You said you were in advanced English that you worked on during the summer, right?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I had to read Catcher in the Rye, Brave New World, and Lord of the Flies this summer.
What a combination. What a combination.
It was fun. I just didn't have a lot of time to do it, so I was reading on planes a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those three books have, I guess, something in common in that they're shaking the roots of their society that they're coming from. Lord of the Flies tells us what kind of a society we are when rules go away, right? Desert islands, right?
Mm-hmm.
And another one is Brave New World is this test tube babies and all that sort of stuff. And then Catcher in the Rye is a teenager going through, is this the world I want to live in?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think you could go or would want to go with your writing?
I'm not sure. Right now I'm just writing stories and whatever comes to mind. But if I could get something published or write a script or become a director, like I love Marvel. I love, like I wanted to audition for them. I would love to write a script and work with people.
Marvel, that is fascinating. Marvel, I grew up with Marvel, only it was the comic books, pure comic books. We had Marvel Superman, we had Marvel Batman, we had Marvel Aquaman, we had Marvel everything. And by the way, they even had Marvel Wonder Woman, Marvel this and that. But you're going to do that? You're going to write scripts for them and do cartoons for them?
Maybe. I don't know. Probably not. I think I'm
Would you like to?
I think that would be super fun. But
all right, why? Yeah. I'm fascinated by this. You're a multi-talented person.
I've always thought working for Disney or Marvel would just be awesome because I love drawing and I love coming up with plot lines and characters and things that I can represent myself with that's not me.
Mm-hmm.
Especially that ties into musical theater. I like creating a character in musical theater that I can put myself into and I can be that character, which is strange to think about, but I really enjoy doing that.
Who would be, then, following on that, who would be your favorite character that you performed as?
Ooh, that's hard.
Well, we know you've done Marta in Sound of Music. I know that you haven't done whatever I did in Oklahoma, which, God, you could have done so much better. But what other characters have you performed in, and how do you get into it?
I've been in over 125 performances, recently, our school did Legally Blonde last year, and I was Paulette Bonafonte, which was so much fun because I got to just talk in this kind of accent. And then I got a dog. It was wonderful. I had a wonderful time. It was fantastic. And then last summer, I got the lead in Xanadu, so half the show I was talking like this because I had to be Olivia Newton-John and I had to go to the Outback Steakhouse. And so it was also on roller skates, so it's an interesting trip of a show. So that was really fun.
You know, it's funny. There is a great movie that is it is a cult classic, My Cousin Vinny, and Marissa Tomei plays the part of the girlfriend who turns out to be a very a skilled auto mechanic. Did you see the movie?
No, I haven't.
Oh, your stepfather would never allow you to watch this movie, not for a while. It's going to take a little while. But she does a Brooklyn accent in that play, that movie, which is great. Now, I'm not from Brooklyn, but it sounds really legitimate to me. But I don't think that that's her native accent. I think it's something else, much more standard American. So the ability, we have so much interesting dialogue, so many dialects in English in America.
Yeah.
For you to pick up something new is really fun.
Oh, it's so much fun. Yeah. I love doing accents and like regionalistic dialects. And that was a word. Wow.
Hey, put that one in your book.
Woo-hoo.
Regionalistic dialogue. I love this. It's good.
Yeah. No,
go ahead.
That's just really fun to me. Sorry.
Is there something about, and I think this is true for different aspects. I used to pitch a baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was a kid and quite a bit of my young life, one of the good things about being a pitcher in a baseball game for me was that I could get out on the mound, and when I'm out there, I don't care what problems I had anyplace else in my life. Every teenager's got, you know, angst. Well, but when I got out there and I was the person throwing the ball at the batter and the catcher,
mm-hmm.
I completely lost myself and I wouldn't think of any of those other problems. It was wonderful. It was it was relaxing. It gave me a great deal of satisfaction, especially when I could strike somebody out, and very dissatisfaction when they hit home runs. That was not pleasant. But at any rate, I come back to you. When you get out to sing,
mm-hmm.
is there a part of you that gets lost in what you're doing and that it just flows?
Completely, yeah.
How? Tell me about it. How does it feel?
Well, sometimes, like, if something's definitely wrong and I've had a hard day, going out into stage, like, I completely lose myself. Unless it's, like, a sad scene or a scene where I have to be pained, then you take all of that all your balled up emotions and you throw it out in that one scene, you give mm-hmm. it your all. But otherwise you kind of put on this mask and meld into this character and suddenly you don't exist anymore and it's just that character on stage and you have to feel what they're feeling and do what they're doing and just become that character
mm-hmm.
and just let mm-hmm. go of anything else.
And that's hard sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
How do you get, all right, you're a very accomplished singer, all right. You're okay. All right, I heard you. You're all right. I mean, you know, I could have been better, but, you know, I didn't have all that training. I'll never have been a soprano, though. But how does that affect your relationship with other kids in your class, other people in your group? Do you find anybody... it was hard to answer, but I would imagine that there's some jealousies out there that people around you might have, right?
I don't know, especially since I've gone to St. Joe. I'm just surrounded by a really nice group of people and just
okay.
really wonderful friends. I'm like, wow, I didn't know friends could be this nice. It's wonderful.
So do you support each other or you do?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Especially everyone's individual interests. If we're in a show, if some of us are in a show, others will come see it. If someone's like, hey, I won this award, they're going to honor me, or hey, come to this party. We all come to support each other because we're just a really nice group of kids, I think.
One of the things that they talk about in team sports, it used to be reserved mostly for guys.
Mm-hmm.
When before Title IX, brought more attention to women's athletics, I'm not even sure what sports were really allowed, where women were allowed to compete. However, they talk about the team allows people to get better than themselves. And they learn to work together, and that working together the work of the group helps the entire operation, the entire concert, if you work together. I remember one of the things, gosh, I remember, I've got to take a break, but I'm going to come back and tell you one of the musical things you might find literally somewhat amusing. This is John Smetanka. We're on With Respect, and we're talking to Megan Jacobozzi, who is a 16-year-old, but she is a superb soprano, and if anybody gets a chance to hear her sing in and around the Twin Cities, they really should take the opportunity to do so. We're on With Respect, and we'll be right back. We're now back on With Respect with Megan Jacobozzi, who is a high school student who's got a great career and a future in designing magazine stories for Marvel magazine and cartooning and whatever else she can do. This is John Smetanka. So, Megan, one of the things that I found, which applies to this concept of working together, when we started doing choral singing, our director emphasized one thing. You can sing a flat note when you're supposed to be singing a sharp, and the choir can cover that up, the group. But if you don't have the rhythm and the meter, and you come on two beats too soon, there's no way you can cover that up. You're out there naked to your enemies, as Thomas Becket said. So rhythm has got to be, and beat and whatnot, and you've got to be together. Did they teach you that?
Definitely in choir, yeah. Because if you hold the note too long, then you're just, ooh, there's a solo artist there in the song that's not supposed to be a solo. Or if you come in late, then there's only a couple people singing, then, oh, there's the rest of it.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I believe strongly that there is a value in learning teamwork. You may have individual skills like you do, but learning to be a part of a group and move that group with you is important. And now you're telling me something new, which is interesting, that I always assumed that singers were all very egotistical, like lawyers are. That they never would take delight in somebody else being successful. That's not true?
Well, okay. There's some groups that I've worked with, for instance, the SMC group this summer, where we're all learning music together. That was the best group of kids I have ever worked with, ever. Everyone, there was not a single person there that I didn't like. I loved everyone. Everyone was, a lot of kids were going into college and just everyone was super supportive of them. Anytime anyone had a solo, we would be clapping and cheering from off stage. Like, everyone was super supportive. Other groups I've been in, there's a reason they sometimes call theater drama. It's because there can be lots of drama and people can be frustrating. But I especially think in St. Joe Choir, people are really supportive. Of everyone.
And if they aren't, if you're in a group and they aren't supportive, how does that affect you and your singing?
I don't let it bug me. I mean, I know I'm not the best person out there, but I'm doing everything I can do, and one person's opinion doesn't really matter. And who knows, maybe they're jealous, or maybe we have some bad history, or maybe there's a misunderstanding. But I think anything can be solved and talked out.
Well, that's why we call this program With Respect.
Yeah.
Because, seriously, we take the position that we have respect for the audience. We don't talk down to them. We have respect for the person who's a guest. I don't shout. This is not shout radio. And we have respect for the subject matter. So that's why a person like you can help us understand what it's like to go through, at this point, the beginning of your career. People here have already heard about people who are far along in their career. Mm-hmm. And they probably don't even remember or don't want to remember some of the things that you're going through right now, because mm-hmm. they've had their own problems going on further. And they also will tell you, drama, you want drama? I can tell you drama. But anyway, now, when you sit down and you're by yourself and you're sitting in your room and you've had a nice dinner, like we've just had a nice dinner and we're sitting in the back porch and we're talking about your skills and whatnot, where do you see yourself going with this, with your life?
Ooh, that's a hard question. I'm at a difficult fork in the road where I don't know if I want to pursue opera, because I know there's plenty of comedic operas or really tragic operas that I can submerge myself into a character, or a musical theater. But it's a hard choice to make.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to figure that out currently.
Well, all right, that tells me that you're focusing your thinking, or your gut is focusing your thinking on music as opposed to writing for Marvel magazine.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you think at this point in your life that you want to focus the rest of your life on music?
Yes.
Why?
Well,
there's a lot of your life out there. Let me tell you something. Okay, I've got a daughter. She's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful kid. She's no longer a kid. She's a mother. But I remember when she was 13, I asked her, "Say, Kara, have you ever given any further thoughts on what you want to do with your life?" Her response was, "Dad, give me a break. I'm 13 years old. I don't really know what I want." And then she went on to describe what she didn't want to do, among others, was being a trial lawyer. But I now turn to you and I say, okay, 16 is an early time to plan the rest of your life. All right? Mm-hmm. Everybody understands that. But at 16, you're now, and I think you've already helped us to see where your soul is going.
Mm-hmm.
And I watch your face when you're talking, and I watched your face when you're singing, and the two times I saw you, and I saw a real peace when you're singing, and a good sense of humor. You've got a good sense of humor,
Thank
kid.
You.
This is good. I sense that you are looking at a career, at a lifetime in music.
Yeah.
All right. And now we're going to pick apart just a little bit. Pick apart opera from musicals, from folk, from whatever. What takes you in the direction? And I know you don't, this doesn't have to be your lifetime choice. This is not 20 questions, or this is your life, okay?
Yeah.
But something about opera seems to catch your attention. Mm-hmm. You do talk about it. So tell me, what is it about opera that's so interesting?
I like all the different languages that it can be in.
Mm-hmm.
I like the style. I like how there's high notes, there's low notes. You can everything, and it's so classical, and everyone, you say opera and people are like, oh, okay, all right, just, oh no.
Well, I'll tell you what, when I was a little bit older than you, I was in a school, and I was in charge of the workshop for that school. The reason I got to be in charge of the workshop is because if I didn't do that, I would be sweeping steps down, five flights of steps every single day. So I thought, this is not good. Mrs. Matanka did not do a stair sweeper. So I decided there was a job open for welder, school welder. So I learned to be a welder, and I got to be outside when all the rest of them were in sweeping the stairs down. Okay. Now, on Saturday afternoon, we had radio. And that was pretty much the only time I could listen to radio, Saturday afternoon. And we had opera. It was the only good station in our remote area. And they had, it was the an oil company did opera. I listened to that and I wanted to die. I hated it. It was awful. It's squeaking, the soprano squeak.
Yeah.
And the basso profundo woom woom woom. So I was bound and determined that if I wanted to cause capital punishment for somebody, I would force them to sit in a desert island and listen to opera, one after the other.
Well.
Okay. However, I had the opportunity many years ago to go to Vienna. And I went to the Staatsoper in Vienna with a friend of my brother's, and we stood for 3.5 hours, and they played the Staatsoper, this like magnificent, beautiful building, gold and white and everything, and we stood there for 3.5 hours, and they sang Abduction from the Seraglio, which is a great piece, and I thought, my God, this is beautiful. This is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I got so cool that I was in another city later on, and I saw Il Trovatore.
Mm.
Actually, it was Il Trovatore, but it was in Danish, and that's not really a musical language as I saw it. And then I saw Faust in Covent Garden, and each time I saw it, I got to love opera even more. And I'm trying to figure out, what is it about live opera that makes it so different from the stuff I would listen to on a Saturday afternoon?
It might be people's expressions and how they're acting. Especially down in Georgia, I was rethinking my entire life because they had something called Death by Aria. And I sat there listening to the 20-something sopranos. And every once in a while, there would be a soprano who would be making facial expressions or moving or telling a story with actions and facial expressions more than just voice. And it'd be like, oh, this is good. The other songs, I wanted to die by that aria because every soprano sounded the same. But there was one performance we went to, and there was a soprano who I have never listened to something, and my mouth just opened, my jaw dropped, and I just was in this huge smile, and I was like, okay, maybe I should do opera, just because this one lady was so good. It was
insane. How old was she? 20?
20-something? I'm not sure. She might have been late 20s, 30s. She wasn't part of the program, but she had done the program, but she was coming back, and he was just amazing.
You know, I want to add to that. I agree with you that this performance, which is a whole body performance, that means your arms, your legs, everything, your mouth, your face, everything gets into it, and it makes it a human performance. Yeah. I would ask also, I think that costumes, I think that separation of voices, so instead of all of them coming out of a tin box, what would happen, you know, my radio, in real life, you have soprano singing over here, you have basses singing to the right, singing to the left, and they're split, and you can hear the singing against each other, but they're really singing in harmony. Oh, it's beautiful, beautiful, absolutely beautiful. So, well, listen, I will tell you that I've enjoyed this very much. I hope that you come back someday when you are the prima singer for the New York Met Opera. Because I'm sure that at some point you will be.
Thank you.
Megan Yagwabosi, thank you very much for joining us. This is John Smetanka on With Respect, and we're on every Sunday and Thursday. And remember, until next time, if you show respect to other people, they will show respect to you.